Okay, so because this is the last day before the Pesach vacation, I figured something a little bit about Pesach. Now, this is not just about Pesach. We're also... She kept her promise. She told me 2 weeks ago she'd be here this morning. This is not only about Pesach. This is actually a general parenting lesson. I know you guys are not teenage moms, but it's important to keep this in mind. It's an important outlook on how we relate to children in general, but we're going to talk a lot about Pesach because, as you know, Pesach, the focal point of the Pesach Seder is children. That's really what I wanted to discuss right off the bat this morning. If you look at the top of the page, this shiur is called Wisdom versus Love. So we're going to be discussing throughout this class is sometimes the conflict that happens when a person has a certain amount of wisdom, and then love. So we're going to figure out where that comes, and I'm not going to give away the share yet. I want to introduce a couple questions, and then we're going to talk about where there could be a conflict between wisdom and love, and who ultimately should win that battle. Okay? So Seder night is a very, very special mitzvah. I'm sure in your homes or in other Seder that you've been at, if there are little children around, maybe they could be siblings, they could be nieces and nephews, what happens Seder night? Who becomes the kings for a day? So, usually it's supposed to be little children. That's what happens. What happens is that all the parents take a back seat, all the grandparents take a back seat, and the ones who rule the day are little children. And this is not for no reason, it's because the Torah actually instructs us the most important mitzvah of the night is V'higarata lebincha bayom ha'ulemor, which means you should tell your son. That means that there's a transmission of something going on here. You're supposed to be telling something, and that becomes the focal point of everything. Now, what are you telling him? You're telling him all about the miracles of the Tzias Mitzrayim, the whole Haggadah. Who are you talking to when you say the Haggadah? Children. The Higata Labincha. There's four types of sons. Okay, that's not what we're going to discuss exactly, the nuances between the four sons, but the point is the same. The Higata Labincha, Seder night, we talk to children. Now, this is not unique. You'll ask me, children are everywhere. Does anybody ever go into the sukkah and leave their children in the house? No, of course. You make a seat in the sukkah for your child. Shavuos night, when you go to learn, you take your children with you. Chanukah, when you light the menorah, you bring your children with. They have their own menorah. Purim, they get dressed up. There's plenty of opportunities with children in Judaism. And that's not unique to Pesach. But what is unique is that normally, who's the boss? We're the boss. Adults. You're bar mitzvah. So then you're active. You're part of it. You're actually, what you do counts. And children, we want to train them for the future. But on Pesach, we're not, it seems like, even though they're like, they really should be just practicing for later, for some reason, we lift up the children on a chair, and everything about the Seder is for children. Not only that, we do bizarre rituals, only that the children should ask, just to pique their curiosity. So my question this morning for you is, why on Pesach are the tables turned? Why do children rule, and why do we have to talk to children? Why not discuss it with adults? Why not, like all mitzvot, that adults do, and children practice? Here it's more than just practice. The children are actually doing it. They're not just practicing. What's the significance of that in the holiday of Pesach? That would be question number one. Okay? And an unrelated question. Okay? Rabbis like to ask questions, because then they sound smart when they have the answers. I could have just started from the answers, but whatever. It's cooler this way. Okay? This is another lesson for Seder night. You always start with questions, because it gets you thinking better. Okay? The Arizal, right, is a very, very holy man. He lived in Sfat in the 1500s. Most things that he wrote or said in his lifetime, we have no idea what he's talking about because it was that deep. But today I'd like to discuss one little remez that he said. A remez is a hint. He found the remez to the holiday of Pesach. The word Pesach itself means Passover. But the Arizal took that word Pesach and he says, I can tell you, I'm going to reveal to you something very, very deep, and I'm going to tell you this in a hint. And he said the following. The word Pesach is how many words? Well, it's one. But it could be broken up into two words. You've heard this one before? Pesach. Okay? Pesach. So it sounds like Hasidish Q, right? What does Pesach mean? The mouth, peh, that speaks. Okay? The mouth that speaks. So the holiday of Pesach, which means Passover, and by the way, Passover means because Hashem passed over our homes in Mitzrayim, could also mean the mouth that speaks. Now obviously what that Rizal was saying was is that there's a special mitzvah of speaking on Pesach. Why do we speak? We speak because there's a mitzvah of Higadat al-Bimcha, as we just said. But the question is, why is that encapsulate the entire holiday? Why is the Pesach, the mouth that speaks, the definition of Pesach? I would say it should be the miracles, it should be, I don't know, matzah, something. For some reason, the mouth that speaks, a talking mouth, is the holiday of Pesach.
So I wanted to figure out, what did the Arizal mean? We want to uncover maybe some of the depth of what the Arizal said, of what's so significant to the mouth that's speaking. It's especially important to always remember that we cannot lose track of the Pashut Pshat. Does anybody here know what Pashut Pshat is? Pashut Pshat is like a very boy thing, boy term. I'm preparing you for Shidduch now, because Mircha one day are going to go on a date, and the guy's going to be saying all these words, you'll be like, what? Did you learn in Tomo or something? So it's good you learn these things now, okay? Pashut Pshat means the simple, Pashut is simple, Pshat is meaning, right? The simple meaning. The simple meaning of Pesach is Passover. So normally when the rabbis teach us these like hints, we have to figure out how it aligns with the simple meaning. So we have to figure out, how does the mouth that speak, what does that have anything to do with passing over our homes? It's going to be an important thing to think about, and we're going to get back to that, okay? Ready? Here we go. Now, towards the middle of the first side, there's a heading there that says, Nature and Wisdom. Okay? So what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about a very important theme about Pesach, and that is nature, really, versus miracles. Okay? What is nature? That when you think of the word nature, what comes to mind? What other words flash in your brain when you hear, what words would flash in your brain after 11 o'clock in the morning if you heard the word nature? So
the way the world should work.
Oh, so excellent. So I was expecting people not to say, I was expecting people to say, oh, nature, like trees and birds, and that's true. What I really wanted was what Ms. Pavlovich said, which is that there is a normal order, and there's a cycle, and there's a pattern of the way things are supposed to go. That is what we call nature. Now, what is a miracle? A miracle is something which is not nature. It's unnatural. It's extraordinary. Nature's ordinary and simple, monotonous, boring, maybe. It shouldn't be, but it sometimes is. But a miracle would be unnatural, would be the opposite of that. Which means that if nature has a specific order and a pattern, that means that a miracle is, what's the opposite of a pattern? I was looking for a little glitch. Okay. Now, when you have a glitch in the pattern, that means that things were going a certain way, and you were falling asleep, and all of a sudden, right, you went 2, 4, 6, 8, 11. Right? That's a glitch in the pattern. So that is what happens when there's a miracle, right? When the water splits, okay, what happens? People around are like, what? Right? That's not supposed to happen. That's called a miracle. So nature is the order of things, and miracles are spontaneous. They kind of destroy world order. Now, which one's more important? Okay, more important is not a fair question. Which one do you think Hashem wants?
Nature,
right? And for that very reason, what do we have about 99.99999% of the time?
Nature.
We have nature. Now, what does nature, why does Hashem want nature? What does nature demonstrate?
It hides
Hashem, and it's the opposite of miracles. But when you see the world, when you see the nature, when you see the order of things, do you think Hashem is boring? Is that why Hashem leaves it like that? Okay, let's ask the question another way. What do you think takes more wisdom and more brains to create a natural order of things where things click and things are perfectly in order, or just to make this spontaneous world where every single second Hashem has to intervene and do something crazy in order to make things work? Which do you think would take more wisdom?
Nature.
The first one, right? Nature. Nature is wisdom. And the Kiddush Hashem that comes out of the world, in fact, the Rambam says this. The Rambam says, how does a person come to love and fear Hashem? Right? The question that we've all been pondering. How do we come to love and fear Hashem? We come to love and fear Hashem by looking at nature, looking at the world, and seeing, wow, what an amazing place. I want to be close to whoever built this. Whoever had enough wisdom, had enough seichel, enough chokhmah, we'll use that word, to design this amazing, amazing world that technically no one ever needs to interrupt. I mean, the world is amazing. Everything is just flowing perfectly, and Hashem did all that. When you think about what the architect, how amazing that architect has to be, you should automatically just want to be close to him. You should want to be drawn near to him. The Rambam says that is the starting point for loving and fearing Hashem. It's just looking at nature, because you see the amazing wisdom. As we say in Davening, Kulam b'chokhmah asisa. Everything was done with such tremendous wisdom, And that should be our starting point in service of Hashem, is the amazing wisdom of Hashem. Now, when you think about it that way, okay, miracles, technically, are not a good thing. Because what do miracles do? If the order in the beautiful world that we have shows Hashem's wisdom, what do miracles do? They disrupt that. So which means miracles kind of show that Hashem is not as maybe as smart, Chas V'Shalom, we're going to talk about in a second why he does that, not as smart as we thought he was, right? It's not really a good thing. There's a crazy Gemara in Shabbos. This is one of my favorite Gemaras that I once found. There's a crazy Gemara in Shabbos. I want you to finish the sentence for me, okay? The Gemara says, HaKoyre Halel B'chol Yoyim, the Gemara in Shabbos says, anybody who reads Halel every single day, okay, no cheating. Now, since you all know Gemara by heart, what do you think the end of that sentence is? Someone who recites Halal every day, he is? He is? Say it. I that's the answer I wanted. What do you say? Okay, I thought someone would say something like that. Excellent answer. It's the wrong answer. I'm asking you because I'm trying to figure out what you think the Gemara would say, because the Gemara says the opposite. But that's what I would have thought the Gemara would have said. If you read Halal every day, you'll have great miracles. Or if you read Halal every day, you're so holy like you're like Reb Nachman of Breslev. Or if you read Halal every single day, you'll have like 35 children. That's what I would have thought the Gemara would have said, right? But the Gemara does not say that. The Gemara says, someone who reads Halal every day, Hareze Mecharef Umegadef. Mecharef Umegadef are Hebrew words for the word blasphemer. The word blasphemer is like an artful word. I think we need to translate it. It's somebody who says terrible things about Hashem. That's what it means. It means someone who says really negative things. He says Hashem is dumb, Chas V'Shalom, Hashem is bad, Hashem is evil. That's called chiruv yigid of blasphemy. So someone who reads Halal every day, again, let's picture it. Dude comes in every single morning with his talus and his tefillin at Nate's, before everyone else wakes up. He goes to the mikveh, he comes to shul, and he starts shuckling, and he ends up being a tornado of shuckling, and he's praising Hashem every single morning, Hashem, Hoidul Hashem ki toiv ki li'arlam chaslai with his luv and esek, every single day. And what do you say about this person? Who he thinks he's the most spiritual person in the world. He thinks he is it. So what does the Gemara say about him? He is a blasphemer. What is so bad about saying halal every single day? So the Moral of Prague shares with us an invaluable insight. He says the following. He says, Halal is reserved for miracles and special occasions. Halal is the way we praise Hashem when Hashem performs a spontaneous miracle. When Hashem breaks this pattern and we're very happy about it, we praise Hashem. But if you wake up every morning and you say, wow, what a spontaneous sunset. What are you really showing? What are you really saying? You're saying Hashem is
not smart.
Exactly. Hashem, you're so dumb. You couldn't create a world that there was a pattern that every single day followed the day before and everything was perfect. And you're so smart. You're saying the opposite. You're saying, Hashem, what you did is that you are a slob. You created a world, by the way, this is all Chas V'Shalom. Let's do one thing Chas V'Shalom and everything I'm about to say. You're such a slob, Hashem. You so lazy, you couldn't create a world in which everything took care of itself. So every single day, you know those friends, like every single day they have to like get their life in order? Because they just don't have a plan, don't know what they're doing? That's what you're saying about Hashem. That's blasphemy. That's chiruv yigidah. And that's why the Gemara says, Kol HaKoyrei Halal B'chol Yoyim, even though you think, well, miracles are awesome, and Halal is great, but Halal and miracles are reserved for very special occasions. Because when you do it too often, in essence what you're saying is, Hashem, you don't have a plan. You did not create a pattern. You cannot write a pattern. And that's why really, when you think about it, even though we're so enamored by miracles, and we love them because they're interesting and they're exciting and they're something fun, it's like a trip instead of going to school. But in truth, miracles really obscure Hashem's wisdom. It's really nature that we'd love to see, and it's really the nature that Hashem wants us to see. Okay? Now, I just give a mashal for this before I forget. I always say the mashal, it's like, imagine somebody had like was able to draw like a very, very nice little sketch. So if you draw a nice little sketch on a blank sheet of paper, it's fine. But imagine if you would take this beautiful shear and you would draw a little sketch right here. Right there in the middle, you just drew a sketch. So I tell you, what are you doing? You just ruined the whole shear. So the guy's like, what do you mean? I just drew a nice picture over here. Why is it? If I drew it in a corner, it's nice. But if I drew it, I said, but yeah, but there's some chokhmah over here going on. There's this wisdom and this shir, and now I can't read it anymore. I can't see it anymore because you doodled on it. Now, it's true, you drew a nice little picture, and out of context, if you just look at the picture itself, it's fine. But if you take into account what you covered with your picture, it's not that great anymore. And really, miracles are the same thing. Miracles, I see if it was the top bullet point on the second side, imagine a creative yet misplaced sketch in the middle of a magnificent work of art. When viewed alone, it impresses. But in context, the sketch veils the beauty of the larger picture, and in so doing, the talent of the painter as well. Okay, I worked hard on that sentence. I wanted to read that one out loud. Okay? Now, the Shabbos, ladies, one more point, then we're going to move on. The Shabbos for Pesach is called? Shabbos HaGadol. What does Shabbos HaGadol mean?
There's some pages back there.
What does Shabbos HaGadol mean? Shabbos. Shabbos means Shabbos. What does Gadol mean?
Big
great. Why is the Shabbos for Pesach called the Great Shabbos? So, I was thinking maybe in light of the above, the following idea. Shabbos, what do we celebrate on Shabbos?
Rest.
Hashem creating the world. We rest because Hashem created the world. We're celebrating because Hashem created the world. We celebrate Hashem creating the world. The way that Hashem created the world is He created this beautiful order. On Pesach, what do we celebrate? Yetzias Mitzrayim, we celebrate miracles, okay? Now, it's very easy to get carried away with miracles and think, wow, miracles is everything. Miracles are so awesome. So what we do is we actually take the Shabbos right before Pesach and we remind ourselves, guess who's the greatest? The heavyweight champion of the world is Shabbos. Shabbos HaGadol. It's Shabbos that is great. Remember, just like saying Hallel every day, it's like it's misplaced because really it's nature and it's the wisdom of Hashem. On Shabbos, we celebrate Hashem's nature, Hashem's order, Hashem's pattern of creation, His wisdom. So we take that Shabbos before and we emphasize and remind ourselves, don't lose track of nature when you're talking about miracles on Pesach because Shabbos is Gadol. Okay, let's move on. If miracles are bad, right? By the way, I take offense. My name is Nissim, which means miracle. So this shir is actually very personal to me. But we've just proven that miracles are bad, okay? Because Hashem really wants His wisdom to shine forth through the world, which is nature, which is order. So if miracles are bad and are a glitch into His beautiful pattern, why does Hashem do miracles? Why would He do things that He doesn't want to do?
Because it's kind of like a wake-up for us, because when everything is going the way it's supposed to go, we don't look twice. But like when something goes, like something happens that's out of the ordinary.
That's true, but I have a question. That's a very good point. Meaning, perhaps Hashem, when we fall asleep because of this pattern, Hashem wants to wake us up, so He does crazy stuff so that we wake up. That's what you're saying? It's like if I would, like, this girl's like sleeping in the couch, just turn over a table, right? Well, why doesn't Hashem do miracles all the time then? Hashem waits for very specific opportunities to do miracles. And if Hashem, we fall asleep way more than Hashem wakes us up. So if the reason He did miracles was to wake us up, it should happen way more often. It should, like, by the way, there's a lot of people in the world that have fallen asleep to nature and they don't see Hashem in the world anymore. So according to you, Hashem should do a huge super miracle that no one can deny and everyone will believe in Him right away. But He doesn't do that because He waits for certain specific opportunities. But that was good thinking though. And by the way, it is true that when there is a miracle, we should recognize it and we should wake up. But I don't know if that's the reason why. Maybe that's part of the reason why Hashem does it, but that can't be the only reason why He does it. There's got to be another reason why Hashem to do miracles. The reason why, ladies, Hashem does miracles is not because He wants to. In truth, His arm is being twisted. Okay? Why does He do them? He does them because He has a people called the Jewish people. And when we're in big trouble, okay, and in the world of nature, in the pattern of the world, we get stuck. Okay? I'll give you an example of being stuck in nature. When there are Egyptians breathing down your neck, and there's the Yam Suf right in front of you. So in the world of nature, is there any way out? Is there any escape? No. Okay? No one's around to help you. Nothing. No superheroes, nothing. So how do you get out of this jam? You're between a rock and a hard place. How do you get out of it? So Hashem looks down and He says, you know what? I really don't want to split the sea. Because if I split the sea, my pattern, my Mona Lisa, my beautiful painting, is going to be wrecked. This whole pattern that I've created, this chokhmah, this wisdom, no one will see it anymore. But what am I going to do? My children are in trouble. So because His children are in trouble, what does He do? He intervenes. And intervention means there's a compromise going on here. And Hashem says, even though my wisdom, okay, even though my wisdom is very important to me, because the whole point of the world is to have a Kiddush Hashem, we should recognize Hashem's presence. But for this one time, says Hashem, I am going to let my love prevail. Here we have met for the first time the conflict between wisdom. Hashem has his wisdom on one hand and his love on the other. Wisdom tells him, Hashem, keep the world going at its patterns over to your wisdom. But love says, no, but don't do that, Hashem. If you do that, the Jewish people are in such grave danger. So Hashem has wisdom. Keep the world the way it is. Don't touch anything. Leave it a pattern. Or love. Well, break the pattern. Be spontaneous. Intervene. Compromise your wisdom. These are the two things that are going on here. And when the Jewish people really need it, Hashem's love always prevails over his wisdom.
Hashem could have used his wisdom to plan out that he wouldn't need to use a miracle.
Okay, that's a good point. Those are already, you're asking that excellent question. How does Hashem ever need to have miracles if he always could have planned out his wisdom in a way that those are questions about Hashkafa that I can't really address. I mean, why it had to be that way instead of just starting the step in advance. It could be that it has to do with what you mentioned before, that Hashem also wants to allow these opportunities to happen. But at the bottom line is, there is a conflict here between the wisdom and love, and therefore he allows love to prevail. You're asking a good point. I mean, when do we say that Hashem could have before intervening and not gotten to this point? I mean, in T.S. Mitzrayim, he did intervene, but there's Bechira. People have Bechira to make certain choices. And that Bechira, again, Hashem leads us, leads the world in a certain way, but the Bechira at the end of the day does allow for certain things, like Paro had Bechira up to a certain point, in which the whole T.S. Mitzrayim had to have happened the way it did. There's a valid question. It's definitely good food for thought. Okay, so here we have wisdom versus love. The morale is very interesting. Hashem is a very special midah called rachamim. The word rachamim means compassion and mercy. Hashem says that miracles only happen when they come from Hashem's midah of compassion and mercy. That means Hashem only does miracles when people are in need of them. Hashem doesn't just flex his Hashem muscle. Hashem always looks for us when we need something, then Hashem intervenes. So again, we're just proving over here that miracles come from Hashem's compassion and empathy for us. They're not because Hashem wants to necessarily show something. They come from when Klal Yisrael needs something. Out of love, Hashem performs miracles. Okay, let's get to the main point that I wanted to discuss today. On Seder night. Okay, let's go back to Seder night. On Seder night, we talk to children. We've been discussing it. We talk and talk and talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I once saw, everything I'm about to say, by the way, comes from a sefer called Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi was written by a very holy Jew. His name was Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Okay? He came from the city of Berdichev. If you've listened to Karbach tapes or any of that stuff, he was a holy, holy man. Karbach has all these stories about him. But he was actually a very, very, very holy chassid, and he has a beautiful Torah. And this Dvar Torah comes from him. Seder night, we talk to children. Okay, back to the beginning of the year, for those of you who weren't present. Seder night is a very special mitzvah. V'higadata l'bincha b'yom ha'ulemor. Talk to your child. Now, I'm going to tell you what it's like when you have a son on Seder night. Okay? For the next 2 weeks, from now until Pesach, I'm going to be doing two things. Three things, I should say. I'm going to be hanging out with family, cleaning for Pesach, and learning Torah. Now, why are you learning Torah? Because I have to be ready for the Seder. So what's going to happen? When I get to the Seder by the night of Pesach, I'm just going to be like every other regular Jewish man, which means that I'm going to have an entire notebook of notes that I've been storing up since I was a little kid of wonderful things to say on the Seder. This year might be one of those Divrei Torah. Okay, I'm going to be armed with enough Torah to overwhelm a rabbi, a chavrusa. I'm going to have a lot of things to say. I'm going to be talking about why do you have to lean this way, what happens if you don't lean. I have a lot of crazy stuff to say, a lot of Torah to say. And who do I want to talk to? A scholar, right? Now, what's really going to happen when I get to the Seder? I'm going to be singing, Paro Bipijama Biem Sahalaila, Paro Bipijama, right? I'm going to be singing these little kid songs, but Paro is pajamas and frogs here and frogs there and frogs everywhere. Now, I'm not the wisest of men, but I have plenty of wisdom to share. But on Seder night, that wisdom is out, right? That's not what's going to be happening. I'm going to be suppressing my wisdom. All that wisdom that I've been preparing, that 2 weeks of learning, and those years and years of compiling stockpiles of notes. But on Seder night, all that gets put aside. And instead, who am I going to be talking to? Moshe Abram, who's 5 years old. And he's going to tell me stories about the blood, and he's going to tell me stories about dogs barking and all that stuff, all things that interest him. And what I'm going to do is going to talk to him about the things he wants to talk about on his level. Because the Torah says that he got up to the bincha by Yom HaUlemar. Talk to your son. Don't talk over your son. Talk to your son. Talk on his level. Now, when you talk on someone's level, why do you do that? Why don't I just talk about things I want to talk about? The answer is because I love my boy, right? And I want him to understand. I want him to be a part of what's happening. So really what's happening is, when I sit down with a Seder, the very same conflict that Hashem faced, should I follow my wisdom and leave nature, or should I follow my love and perform a miracle? Wisdom, love, crash. Who wins? Love. Seder night, the exact same thing is going to happen, not to Hashem, but to me. It's going to happen to me, I'm going to have my wisdom. Talk about the Bir Halacha, talk about Reb Chaim Brisker. Say all this different Torah. Teach this amazing deep shir that you taught in Talmud Dvorah. And then on the other hand, it's going to be love. It's going to be like, but Moshe's only 5. So let's go get dressed up in pyro and pajama costume and dance around the room with matzahs on our shoulders. Right? And which one's going to win when there's wisdom, deep shir, love, 5-year-old Moshe, conflict? What's going to prevail? That's why the Torah teaches us V'higadat al-Bincha by Yom HaHulemar. Talk to your son. It's true, normally we practice with children. Children are, they light a menorah for practice. They sit in the sukkah for practice. But Seder night, the Torah gives us a special mitzvah. Elevate the children. Talk to your children. The whole Seder is about children. It's about talking on the child's level. Because we're not just telling, we're not just talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, ladies. We are enacting it. We are reenacting it. There's just a very special mitzvah in the Torah, V'halachta V'drachav. Are you familiar with the words V'halachta V'drachav? V'halachta V'drachav is the mitzvah of following in Hashem's ways. The Chazal use a different word in the Gemara. They say, Mahu af ata. Whatever Hashem does, you should do the same. Right? L'havdil alaf al-Hadosh, the Christians took that from us. They say, what would Jesus do? Ever hear that? So we also should do that, right? Mahu af ata. Hashem is kind, Hashem is good. It's from us. They stole it from us. Like everything they took from us. Right? So, Seder night, we are mimicking Hashem. We're doing exactly the same things that He did. The same way Hashem, He had this clash of wisdom versus love, and even though He wanted His wisdom so much, but out of love, He let miracles prevail, we have the exact same conflict, and we're not just talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're actually doing Yetzias Mitzrayim. We are reaching into that place where Hashem drew the power of Yetzias Mitzrayim to allow love to triumph over wisdom. Now, let's return to the Arizal. Remember, the Arizal said that the word Pesach, which means Passover, also means the mouth that speaks. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says something amazing. He says that the word Sach, Sicha, comes from the word Sicha, to talk. There's many words that talk about speech. There's Dibur, there's Amira, and there's something called Sicha. Sicha, the connotation of Sicha, this is like an Israeli, you need to have like a Hebrew etymology for this. I trust Rabbi Levi Yitzchak about this, because I'm an American. But he says, the word sicha has a connotation of what kind of speech? A very simple, non-complex type of speech. When you break it down and you talk very, very simply, he proves that the word sicha comes from the word sachu givas olam, which means that Hashem, the Navi says that Hashem took these elevated, these high mountains, and He lowered the mountains. So when you have something which is elevated and you lower it, you take something which is complex and you simplify it, that is called sicha. We talk about sicha betela, sicha schulet. Okay, without going any further into this, but sicha means uncomplicated speech. The holiday of Pesach, Pesach, the mouth that speaks, the mouth does, it's not just the mouth that speaks, it's the mouth that speaks simply. The mouth that talks in an uncomplicated way. Because the point of Pesach is to lower it. Lower the wisdom. Take all that complicated complexity and bring it down. Talk very, very simply. It's actually very, very beautiful because the word Pesach, which means Passover, remember we said the word Pesach, the Pashup Shot really is that Pesach means Passover, to pass over the homes. If you look inside, the word in the Chumash, Rashi brings two Pshatim, the Targum Onkelos also says that the word Pesach could also mean Ve'echus, which means, and I had compassion. Because again, the Haggadah says, Pesach zeh she'anu ochel al shumah. Why do we eat this Pesach? al shum she pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al batei b'nei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pasach on Jewish homes, which it could mean Hashem passed over Jewish homes, but it could also very well mean that Hashem had compassion on the Jewish homes. Now, compassion and empathy really mean love. It means connection. It means feeling. It means that the whole miracle, the entire miracle that we're talking about in Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Exodus was the miracle of Hashem's love. It came from Hashem's rachamim, from His compassion for us. Because remember, the Yetzias Mitzrayim is not about wisdom. The holiday of Pesach is about love. The word Pesach means empathy, compassion, connection, love. That's what the Yom Tov of Pesach is about. And that's why we demonstrate it Seder night. But again, not just loving. Understanding that when love comes in conflict with our wisdom, what prevails? Love prevails. Now ladies, I mentioned before that this is a very important lesson for you to see from Shai. Because what did we discuss today? Let's do a quick recap here. What we discussed today is that Yetzias Mitzrayim is the holiday of miracles. Normally, on Shabbos and other times of the year, what we really celebrate and what Hashem wants us to see is that Hashem created the world with His wisdom. But Hashem, at the time of the Exodus, did amazing miracles. Even though He really didn't want to, His hands were tied, His arm was twisted. Why did He do them? He did them because He loves us. In spite of the wisdom that normally shines forth through the world, Hashem, out of love, was willing to compromise and distort things out of His love for us. That is what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. Shabbos is about wisdom. Every day when we say Birchas Kriya Shema in the morning, we talk about the beautiful world and we should be amazed by the world. That is all nature, wisdom, kulam b'chachma asisa. Yetzias Mitzrayim is about the amazing miracles that He did that are amazing to us because we were saved because Hashem loves us. But it's not really what Hashem wants. So think about it. Hashem, when He has this clash between love and wisdom, love prevails. Mahu afata, what would Hashem do? V'halachta b'drocha, we have to behave the same way. Especially Seder night, we reenact this, we behave the same way. How do we behave the same way? We look for opportunities at Pesach, that even though we have wisdom, and again, remember, wisdom is that we have a way that we want things to be. Remember? We all have this wisdom. We all in our lives, we figured it out. We think we figured it out at least, but on our level, we figured it out. And when we figure it out, we're like, wow, it should be like this. I don't want to compromise. So why do you actually make compromises for people? The reason why you do that is because you love them and because you recognize that if you force everyone to be on your level, right? So that's not good for them. It's not good for them to be on your level. Sometimes you have to bring it down, right? By the way, as a teacher, if I may share a personal anecdote, I must tell you that this is a very challenging thing for a teacher. For example, even in the shiur itself, when I was preparing it, right? By the way, this is about as deep as I can go. But I was a little worried. This could be a shiur which I could just be giving it because I want to say it, right? But that's not why I'm here, right? I'm not here to share my wisdom, to impart my wisdom with you, right? I'm here because you're supposed to be learning, right? So there's a certain empathy and compassion necessary. I won't use the word love because it's a little bit weird, but there's a certain empathy necessary to connect and say, well, I want you guys to actually grow from this, so I can't just be talking about the things that I want to talk about. I actually have to prepare for your level. A teacher is a very, very important midah that a teacher always has to talk to his students, right? And it's true for sure with our children as well. When you have a way, there's a certain way you want things to be. Rich Hashem, you'll all have wonderful Jewish homes. So your wisdom, you'll have a certain order in the home. You want things to be a certain way. You want it to run clockwork. And this is the time we do this, and we get out of the house now, and this is what we eat for dinner. But what happens is, by the way, and this is just experience from my own, maybe no one else is like this, I don't know, check with the other teachers. Usually, my wife makes dinner 9 out of 10 times, my kids don't want what she makes, right? And she has to make something else. So, what do you mean? I have an order. There's a pattern here. I already had a plan. I thought that today would be good to have this. Well, guess what? The kids don't want to eat it. So now what are they going to do? You're going to starve, or are we going to stick with your wisdom and your pattern and the way you want things to be? The answer is that love has to prevail. And we learned this from Hashem. The reason why we behave this way is because we see Hashem behave this way. We learned about at the holiday of Pesach, and remember the word Pesach itself, everyone translates it as Passover, but it really means to be compassionate, and it really means to be loving. And the reason where that happened was, how do we see Hashem's love? Because Hashem was willing to compromise His wisdom for us. We need to draw that very lesson from Pesach and understand when we are faced with this conflict between the way we want things to be and the way that we've been planning it out and the way that we've set it up, and people get in the way, not on purpose, but they get in the way because they're just not ready for us. They're not ready for the way we've decided things should be. Those people, very often we love, And what we need to do is we need to be making compromises. That is the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is what we do Seder night. When we talk to children on their level, we are talking to them out of love. We are speaking to them pesach. We are speaking simply, even though we want to talk in much more complex terms, but we bring it down to their level, because what we're doing is we're compromising our wisdom for the sake of the people that we love. But again, like I said, this is important for a Seder night. It's important for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's equally important every single day. And you do not need to be a parent to implement this. Of course, it helps because the love is more natural. But whoever's going home, anytime you're with anybody that you love, you get in the way. People get in the way of each other, and things aren't always the way you want them to be. But you have to be able to see things from other people's perspective. And that happens with compassion, that happens with rachamim, it happens from the same source that miracles come from. It's the same thing is true with compassion. It comes from connecting and understanding that even though it's really not what we want, but people need things to be differently, so we're willing to compromise our wisdom. Anyways, ladies, this is a tremendous lesson. Please keep it in mind. Keep these notes. Wisdom versus love. Who should win? So wisdom wins most of the time, but when necessary, be flexible for the people that you love. Be compassionate, and don't be too complex for others. Just keep it simple, and everyone should have a wonderful holiday or a wonderful Pesach. Whoever's going on a trip tonight should have a safe trip in Poland. And I guess we'll see you back after Pesach.
Thank you so much.